Aren't you glad for Jesus this morning? No wonder Paul said it's in Him that we live and move and have our being. I'm so glad for Him this morning. I appreciate His mercy. Appreciate His love. Glad to see you in church. And it's good to see Sister Teresa with us this morning. And it's good to have Kenny here this morning with us. And everybody else that's here, we're glad for you being in the house of God this morning. And I'm glad for the presence of the Lord this morning. The Lord's here. And I feel certain that it's His will to help us. It's good to see Mr. Henry, too. It's been a little while since we've seen him. Always good to see him in church with us. And we're just glad. We're glad for all of you this morning. We appreciate you. We love you. And we're glad to see you here. If you have your Bibles this morning, I want to read in the book of Psalm 32. Psalm 32. I feel like the Lord laid something on my heart here yesterday morning, and I really felt God touch me. I texted Brother Tim yesterday morning, I believe it was, and I said, "Brother, pray the Lord help me. I feel like He's given me a little something, and I don't know, this may crash and burn, or I may crash and burn this morning, but I feel like the Lord give me something for somebody, and just want to give to you what I feel like He's laid on my heart. So I do covet your prayers this morning. I want to read in Psalm 32, and it's a short chapter, so I think it'd be all right to read the entire chapter. Verse 1, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin, Selah. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of a great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with a bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall compass the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart." Amen. Notice in verse 3 it says, "When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day." Then verse 7, the latter part of the verse, the end of that verse, he said, "Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance." Selah. I want to preach this morning, if the Lord will help me just for a little while, on a thought, from silence to singing. If you were to travel this whole world over, you would find that in every culture there is singing. There's different kinds of singing. There's different kinds of expressions of music. But in every culture, in every part of this world, singing is something that is common. The reason why I believe that it is because God ordained singing. I believe God is the author of singing. God loves when His people have a song. In fact, it's His will that we do have a song. God loves singing so much. And now you've probably thought about this, but He loves singing so much that right in the middle of His Word, He give us a songbook. Brother Rodney mentioned this morning that when you read Psalms, it's not chapters, but it's actual songs that mostly David, but maybe some others, were inspired as God spoke to their hearts, as they lived through experiences and faced different things and even come through failures and faults in their life, that when they come through those things, having obtained help from God, that God give them a song in the midst of everything that they went through. Singing is a way of expressing our feelings and our emotions. I mean, you take that little baby that has never said a word, that cries in the midnight hour because, I don't know, maybe because it's spoiled or because it's hurting or because it's afraid. And you can sing a little lullaby to that baby. And that baby is comforted by that song. And that's because God put it in us to have a song. Amen. I believe that, don't you? And this is not my message today, but the devil has capitalized on that. And one of his greatest weapons against mankind and what he's bringing against the church is you know, we think about country music and rock and roll music and how influential it is and how powerful it is. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, Lucifer was the minister of music in heaven before he was cast out by God. So he knows what music is about. And then, you know, we're facing in the church today, there's been a changing and a shifting of music in the house of God. And this is not my message, but you understand me. It's a powerful tool, either in the hands of the enemy or in the hands and in the hearts of God's people. Amen. God ordained us to have a song. James 5:13, he said, is any merry? Is any happy? He said, let him sing psalms. Amen. Why? Because he gives us a song. Praise God. I believe when God saved us, he gave us a song. A new song. Amen. The song of the redeemed. Amen. He said, the Lord is my strength. And he is my song. And he has become my salvation. I'm glad this morning I've got a song, ain't you? I'm glad this morning I've got a song to sing in my heart. But then I read over in Psalms 137, verses 1 through 4. Just bear with me for a little while. He said in verse 1, this is Israel by the rivers of Babylon. There we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. They that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. Now the reason why these that carried the children of Israel away captive was asking them to sing is because they knew, if anybody knew how to sing, Israel knew how to sing. Out of all the nations, Brother Joy, that they conquered, and among all those nations there was singing, there was music. They recognized the singing of this people was greater than any other people. It touched their hearts more than any other singing and music that they ever heard. And the reason why is because these people at one time had an experience with God. Amen. And God gave them a song, and they heard about that, and they said, hey, we want to hear one of those songs y'all used to sing when y'all was over yonder in Israel and in Jerusalem. We want to hear that. We've heard what wonderful singing it is. We've heard nobody can sing like you folks can sing. Just stay with me for a little while and notice what they say. They say, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Now what happened? Amen. Their song was missing. Their song, they no longer possessed their song. And I want to preach to you this morning, there is only one thing that can rob you of your song, and that is that three little word, a letter word, that we take so lightly that the world laughs and mocks at, but that one thing that has the ability to take away your song is sin. The reason why these people were in captivity, they had rebelled against God. They had sinned against God. They had turned to idolatry. They tried to hold God in one hand, and they tried to hold the world in the other hand. And as a result, they were taken captive, and their song was taken away from them. And they said, we can't sing anymore, because we don't have a song anymore. Sin has taken it away. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Oh God, help me right here. Are you praying for me, church? I read to you in our text in verse 3 where the psalmist says, when I kept silence, my bones waxed through my roaring all the day. I looked up that word silence, and it's more than just the psalmist not saying anything. But what the scriptures are implying unto us is this: when I concealed my sin, when I endeavored to hide away my sin, when I went to the house of God and I dressed the part, and I look the part, and I act the part, and nobody knew something's going on. Nobody knew I've been doing some things that I should not have been doing. Nobody knew what I had done last week. I had it all covered up. And let me tell you, you may be able to do that for a little while. Listen, I feel like this message may be twofold. I want to reach for the lost that's here this morning. Certainly, that's what we want to do. But I feel a burden for the church. Are you with me this morning? I feel a burden for God's people. Amen. You may hide it for a little while. You may cover it up. Amen. It may look like everything's okay. You may still smile. You may still act like you've always acted. And everybody may think, man, they're doing good. Look at them. But I'm telling you, amen, unconfessed sin will rob you of your song. Amen. When you fail, amen, to be honest, and I'm going to say this right here, you may fool me, but you won't always fool me. Because it's going to show up sooner or later. You may fool Brother Tim,
but you will not always fool him. You may fool Brother Rodney and Brother Gerald. You may fool your husband and you may fool your wife for a little while, but you will not always fool him, because sooner or later what is in your heart will find its way to the surface. But I want to preach to you tonight, while others may not know what is in your heart, while others may not know what you've been doing in the dark, God knows what you're doing. I said, God, he knows what you are doing. You may feel like, I've got my sin hid, I've got my sin concealed. Nobody knows, but the Lord does.
He said, while I was concealing my sin, while I was practicing secretly my sin, everybody thought I was okay, but it was taking its toll on me. He said, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. On the inside, sin was destroying me. That's what he was saying. And while I was not confessing sin, and while I was concealing and hiding my sin away, he said my bones was, there was a cry. Oh, there was a roaring in my bones all the day long and all the night long. I knew I was condemned. I knew I was guilty. I knew if I die where I am right now, I am going to go to hell. Are you hearing me preach right here? I'm feeling God in this place. Amen. You may have it hid and it may be concealed, but oh, you know, on the inside there's a turmoil. On the inside you're not happy. On the inside there is no joy. Why? Because sin is grievous. Sin causes great sorrow. You may wear a smile, but on the inside your heart is full of sorrow and you have no song. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. Brother Tim read about it in the book of Ezekiel the other day, and I don't want to be repetitious here, but God spoke to the prophet, said, son of man, he said, dig now in the wall. You remember he brought me to the door of the court, and when I looked, behold, there was a hole in the wall. He said, dig in the wall. He got to digging in that hole in the wall. And the Bible said that as he dug this place, he found a door, a secret door, a door that nobody knew was there. Huh? And the Bible said that God told the prophet, he said, go in and behold the wicked abominations. So he went in, and there was every form of creeping thing, an abominable beast, and all idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about. There stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel, and in the midst of them stood Jezaniah the son of Shaphan, with every man his censer in his hand, and a thick cloud in the of incense went up. And he said, son of man, hast thou seen the ancients of the house of Israel, what they do in the dark? And notice what he said, for they say, the Lord seeth us not, but the Lord hath forsaken the earth. Now, can I use my imagination? Their sin they thought was concealed. They didn't even realize there was a hole in the wall. I want to imagine that possibly there never, that hole wasn't there, but through the course of time, there appears a little hole. Amen. There's a spot that brings attention. And then God tells the man of God, dig in that hole. You know what? That's what preaching does.
It digs into a man's heart and it opens up a man's heart and it lets that man know God knows what you're doing. Amen. Are you hearing me? The only evidence that something was wrong was a hole in the wall. That hole gets bigger and that hole gets bigger until your sin is no longer concealed. Your sin is no longer hid. Your sin will be proclaimed from the housetop.
They say the Lord seeth us not, but I want to tell you, God sees your sin. God sees where you are this morning. Amen. Oh, he was concealing his sin. But I want you to notice. I want you to notice. And the reason why this touches my heart, because I must confess to you that there has been times since I've been saved. I'm not talking about practicing how y'all understand me. But there's been times, oh, since I received forgiveness in 1991, that I've allowed things to enter into my heart. And I harbored them and I carried them. And even at times, I played upon them. I put them into practice. Oh, and nobody knew. Nobody seen it. I'm just being transparent to you. Oh, I'm just being honest with you. Here tonight, this morning. Oh, yes. Oh, and in times like that, at any time, you know what God could have did? God could have knocked the wall out, opened the door and said, hey, everybody come in and look what he has done. But you know what? He didn't do that. Oh, he did not. There will come a time he will do that. If sin is not repented of. Are you hearing me preach this morning? But he didn't open the door wide and say, look how sorry he is. But notice what the psalmist said in verse 4. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. I want you to think about this. That hand that holds the waters in the hollow of his hand. That hand that could have crushed, that hand that could have destroyed, instead of destroying and crushing, he's pressing and he's squeezing in love and tender mercy, saying, hey, I don't want to destroy you. I don't want you to be lost. I don't want you to go to hell. I want you to get right. I don't even want to reveal your sin to anybody else. It's important that you know and I know. I don't really want anybody else to know. That's why I'm squeezing. That's why I'm heavy upon you. That's old time Holy Ghost conviction. Ain't you glad? He didn't crush us. But he just squeezed. I love you. I care for you. I don't want you to be lost. Your hand was heavy upon me night and day. I wore a smile. I acted like everything was all right, but I knew I wasn't right. And I felt him as he was dealing with me night and day, over and over. Oh, and over again. Oh, God, help me preach right here. I'm feeling the Lord. I really am. I feel like the Lord's wanting to help somebody in this house. Are y'all feeling that way this morning? You know what I'm feeling? I'm not feeling the hands of an angry God that's crushing folks and saying away with you. No more mercy today. But I'm feeling the hands of a God that's squeezing hearts. That's what you're feeling. That's why you're uncomfortable. That's why you've been uncomfortable. During this service, while the songs were being sung, you felt at unease. You was not at ease at all. You were uncomfortable. Why? Because God's squeezing. I said God's squeezing your heart and he's trying to get your attention and let you know, hey, you can have mercy. You may have failed. You may have sinned. You may have done terrible things, but I love you and I care for you and I'm not willing that any should pay. Perish, but that all should come unto repentance. Do you feel that squeeze this morning?
If you're feeling that squeeze this morning, you need to pray. David said, I felt that squeeze. I felt that tender touch of God. When he had all rights, when he had all right to destroy me, he squeezed and he pressed and he let me know, you don't have to stay this way. And I want to preach this morning to you. Are y'all feeling what I'm a feeling, church? You don't have to stay the way you are. You can be delivered from that thing that has your heart bound. Whether it be worldliness or envy or strife or bitterness or, oh, things you've been doing, places you've been going, amen, thoughts you've been thinking, things you've been acting upon. Come on. God says you don't have to stay that way. You do not have to stay that way. That's why he's squeezing, because he's wanting you to know you can be forgiven. David said he got to pressing me and he got to squeezing me so much I couldn't take it anymore. I couldn't handle it anymore. And so he went on and said in verse 5, I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. The Bible tells us that godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. What's he saying? Amen. When God is squeezing and you realize, I'm not ready, I have failed, I have sinned, amen, if my life was opened up, the world would be ashamed of what I've been. But I'm going to repent. I'm going to call out to God while he's squeezing. I'm going to call out to God while he's dealing. That the Bible speaks about a people that would call upon the Lord after he quit squeezing their hearts, and he said, I will not answer. He said, they'll seek me early, but they shall not find me. But while he's squeezing, amen, don't let regret be what causes you to pray, but let the squeezing, convicting hand of God, amen, be, let it be what determines your surrendering to the Lord. Are you hearing me preach this morning? God's a squeezing. I wonder who is going to make a move. He said, God squeezed my heart so much that I had to tell him. He already knew it anyhow, but I had to tell him. And listen, I tell you what, I'm not of this, I don't believe that when a man gets saved, that he should stand up before the whole church and tell all of his sins. In fact, the Bible tells us there's some things that we're not even supposed to repeat. It's a shame. Speak of those things that were done in dark. And I know there's nosy, quote unquote, Christians that would love to find out what you've been sneaking around doing. But I'd like to say here this morning, y'all know I'm not an arrogant person, but I'd like to say to those nosy so-called Christians, it's none of your business. That's between them and God. Quit trying to figure it out. What if God opened the door on everything you've done wrong? Huh? What if everybody knew what you've been doing in the past? Ain't you glad he didn't throw the door wide open for everybody in the church to know? So quit trying to be nosy and finding out what somebody's did. Thank God he's squeezing their heart. And thank God he's dealing with them. Thank God he's giving them an opportunity. And I want to say to that person, God is squeezing your heart. If you'll come, it's just between you and God. And you know what I believe this morning? You can get it fixed. I said, you can get it fixed. He said, I acknowledge my transgression, my sin, and my iniquity. I didn't hide it anymore. I told the Lord my heart, and he said, thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. He said, I quoted part of it, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth
and forsaketh shall find or shall have mercy.
David said, I confessed. I said, God, I'm the man. When Nathan stuck his finger in my face and said, you are the man, David. He said, I said, yes, I am. And I'm getting it fixed right here. Right now. Yeah, I had to suffer. Yeah, I lost a baby. Yeah, in the process of time, I lost other things. Had to bury my own boy. Would to God had been me, but I had to bury my own boy. It was my sin. But thank God, I'm forgiven. Amen. Thank God I am forgiven. Oh, this morning I'm preaching to you. If you confess your sin, and if you forsake it, He is faithful and just to forgive. What did He say? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, even though their list was long, even though they fell into it over and over and over and over again, He said, if they'll pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, He said, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins. I will heal their lands. I will move. And now I read about a man that could not sing. I read about a man that had lost his song, but know what he's doing? He's singing. He begins the psalm by saying, blessed is he whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and is in whose mouth is no guile. I want to tell you something this morning. You can find forgiveness. You can get it fixed. You can leave here with the touch of God in your life.
He said, I confess my sin. Bible don't say this, but I believe He done this. He forsook. He said, I'm not going that way anymore. I can't change what I have done. I want to tell you something this morning. My heart's really heavy. It is. You cannot change what you have done. What you have done, it's done. It's done. You can't undo it. David said, I can't undo what I've done. I can't change it. I can't bring back children that's dead. Because of my sin, it's done. What I have done, it is forever done. But from this point on, I can walk with God in the beauty of holiness. And I can serve Him. And God can say concerning me, after all that I did wrong, He was a man. Or He is a man. After my own heart. Oh, I read it to you where he's singing a song of God's forgiveness. He forgave me when I was unworthy. He had mercy on me when I didn't deserve it. But not only that, he goes on and he sings about God's faithfulness. He said, for this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in the time when thou mayest be found. Surely the floods of a great waters, they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. He said, I didn't have a song. I couldn't sing. Sin stole it away. But he gave me my song back. And now I can sing again. Ask me one more time. The last time you said sing, I said I couldn't do it. I hope you ask me one more time. Because I've got a song now. I got a song. He has forgiven me. Pray, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. All ye lands, serve the God, the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Oh, come on, church. I tell you, if you're saved, you've got a song. You got a song. David said he put a new song in my mouth. He went from silence to singing.
Because God, instead of crushing, He convicted. Will you stand this morning? I'm not here to point a finger. I like what Brother Rodney said. When we preach, when we teach, we're not here to point a finger. We're not here to convey the message that we think we're better than you, because we're not. Because the same God that's squeezing your heart right now is the same God that has done that for me since I've been saved, over and over. That's why I'm preaching it to you. Because I know what it feels like when He squeezes. So I'm not up here to point a finger. I'm not up here to condemn. I'm not here to judge. I'm not here to be mean. And I don't want to convey the message that I think. I'm so glad God hasn't opened the door up in my life and let people see what has been in my heart in the past. Is that okay, church? Y'all don't feel any less of me for saying that, do you? I hope y'all know I'm not hypocrite, and I'm not preaching sin. Y'all understand what I'm trying to say. I'm glad He didn't open the door and let everybody see what was in there. But I'm glad He squeezed me. And I'm glad Brother Joey, he said, you can get that out if you'll respond to my squeezing, if you'll respond to my convicting, and nobody even has to know. Amen. Praise God. Brother Anthony said it. He'll take all of your sins and He will cast them into the abyss, into the depths of the sea. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. I know what the squeezing is, and I know what it's like when He takes it out and He throws it into the abyss. I know what it's like when He removes it as far from me as the east is from the west. And I want to tell you this morning, if you're lost and you admit you're lost, or if you're saved and there's something hid away in your heart, you can have that experience this morning. I know, I feel it right here. I feel God squeezing professing sinners' hearts right now. He's squeezing your heart right now. Why is He doing that? He's wanting you to pray. He's telling you, you do not have to die in your sin. You can be saved. But I tell you what else I feel. I feel God squeezing some saints of God's hearts. And there's some things hid away in your heart that nobody knows about. I'm not saying you're not saved, but I'm saying if you don't get it out, you won't stay that way. Is that okay to say that? There's some saints He's squeezing your heart. You know this morning. You know who you are, and you know what it is. Do you feel it? Do you feel it? What are you going to do with that? Are you going to shun it till He lifts His hand? David said His hand was heavy upon me. His hand was heavy upon me. But if you resist long enough, He removes His hand. And there's no more squeezing. Saints of God, will you pray with us right now? Bow your heads. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I feel the Holy Ghost. Lord, I feel Your Spirit. God, I pray this morning that You would help somebody to respond to Your conviction. God, don't let them make the tragic mistake of walking away from the dealing of Your Spirit. Lord, help them not to run away, but to run to this morning. In Jesus' name. While the saints of God are bowing your heads and closing your eyes and praying, if you're here this morning and you're lost, and you admit that you are, and you feel God squeezing your heart, God says this morning, why don't you come while I'm dealing with you? Why don't you come while I'm convicting you? Come this morning. Be saved. Don't leave here unsaved. There may come a time He removes His hand. But if you're here this morning and you are a Christian, but there's some things in your life that you know is not right. There's some things that's hid away that maybe your wife does not know about, or your husband does not know about, or your mother or your father or your grandmother or your grandfather don't know about. But God knows. And you know. And He's squeezing your heart and He's telling you, I want to help you. I want you to have a song. Sin has robbed you of that song of forgiveness and God's faithfulness. But I want to restore that song. That's why David said, said, restore unto me? David, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. God wants to do that for you this morning. He wants to restore your song. He wants to restore your song. What about it? Are you here this morning? Do you feel the need to pray? You feel the need to pray? You feel the need to pray? I can make it easy on you and give you a general altar call, and I'm fixing to give a general altar call. But are you willing to step out and say, preacher, the Lord has spoke to my heart today. The Lord has squeezed my heart today. And I'm going to step out, even though nobody else is moving right now. I'm going to step out because I need help. I promise you, you're not going to find a judgmental church that's pointing a finger. You're going to find a people that loves you and wants to help you. You're going to find a people that's not concerned about failures and faults in your life, but a people that's more concerned about you getting your song back. Am I right, Highway?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Would you step out? Would you step out? Would you step out? Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Would you come? Lost heart, would you come? Thank God for these young people that are praying this morning. God, give us tender hearts like these children's got this morning. That's what you need. You need a heart like these children have this morning. Tender to the touch of God. Tender to the squeeze of God. Would you come? Would you come? Would you come? All right, saints of God, let's gather. Let's gather. As Brother Jonathan's singing to us here this morning, as God is squeezing your heart this morning, would you come? 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 He's squeezing. He's dealing. He's drawing. He's convicting. Would you come? Oh, He wants to give you a song. He wants to give you a song. Praise God. Would you come while He's dealing, while He's drawing you this morning? While He's squeezing your heart this morning, would you come? In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, would you come?
When my flesh is weak and I'm discouraged about life, and I've convinced myself giving up would be all right. Satan whispers, he'll make me sleep forever.